Responding to the Crisis: Change Socialism's Epistemology. While some on the left modified their ethics, others set to revising Marxist psychology and epistemology. Beginning in the 1920s and 1930s, there had been some early suggestions that Marxism was too rationalistic, too logical and deterministic. In the 1920s, Mao had urged that will and assertion of the peasants, and especially of the leaders, counted for more than passively waiting for the material conditions of revolution to work themselves out deterministically. In the 1930s, Antonio Gramsci had rejected the belief that the Depression would necessarily spell the doom of capitalism, and he had argued that finishing off capitalism would require the creative initiative of the masses. That creative initiative, Gramsci argued, was, however, neither rational nor inexorable, but rather subjective and unpredictable. And early Frankfurt School theorizing had suggested that Marxism was too wedded to reason, that reason led to major social pathologies, and that less rational psychological forces had to be incorporated into any successful social theory. Those voices were mostly ignored for two decades, swept aside by the dominant voices of classical Marxist theory, the Depression and World War II, and by the conviction that the Soviet Union was showing the world the true path. By the 1950s, however, two developments began to merge, one epistemological and one political-economic. In the world of academic epistemology, both European and Anglo-American theorists were reaching skeptical and pessimistic conclusions about the power of reason. Heidegger was ascendant on the continent, and logical positivism was reaching its dead end in the Anglo-American world. And in both theoretical and practical politics and economics, the failure of Marxism to develop according to the logic of its traditional theory was reaching a crisis. The merging of these two developments yield the surging to prominence of non-rational and irrationalist left socialisms. The symptoms were many. One was manifest in the splintering of the monolithic Marxist movement into many sub-movements, emphasizing the socialism of sex, race, and ethnic identity. Such movements abandoned the universalistic conceptions of human interests implicit in seeking a collective consciousness of the international proletariat. The international proletariat is a highly abstract concept. The universality of all human interests is a very sweeping generalization. Both abstraction and generalization require strong confidence in the power of reason, and by the 1950s, that confidence in reason had evaporated. The loss of confidence in reason implied, as a matter of practical politics, that the intellectuals now had even less confidence in the average person's capacity for abstract reasoning. It is hard enough for a trained intellectual to conceive, as classical Marxism requires, of all of humankind as ultimately members of a universal class sharing the same universal interests. But, the more epistemologically modest theorists of the 1950s began to ask, can we really expect the masses to abstract to the view that we are all brothers and sisters under the skin? Can the masses conceive of themselves as a harmonious international class? The intellectual capacity of the masses is much more limited. So appealing to and mobilizing the masses requires speaking to them about what matters to them and on a level that they can grasp. What the masses can understand and what they do get fired up about are their sexual, racial, ethnic, and religious identities. Both epistemological modesty and effective communication strategy, then, dictated a move from universalism to multiculturalism. In effect, by the late 1950s and early 1960s, significant portions of the left came to agree with the collectivist right on yet another issue. Forget internationalism, universalism, and cosmopolitanism. Focus on smaller groups formed on the basis of ethnic, racial, or other identities. Another symptom of the rejection of reason was the wild rise in popularity of Mao and China among the younger radicals. Not as committed to the Soviet Union as the older generation of leftists was, Many in the younger generation turned enthusiastically to Chinese communism in practice and Maoist Marxism in theory. Mao's Little Red Book was read widely on college campuses and increasingly studied by revolutionaries in training. From it, they absorbed Mao's lessons of making revolution through sheer political and ideological will, of not waiting for material conditions to develop of themselves, of being pragmatic and opportunistic, and willing to use ambiguous rhetoric and even cruelty, and above all, of being constantly and militantly activist, even to the point of wildness and irrationality. Make the revolution somehow and anyhow. In effect, this strain of left thought came to agree with what the collectivist right had also long argued, that human beings are not fundamentally rational, that in politics it is the irrational passions that must be appealed to and utilized. The lessons of Maoism integrated with the lessons of the preeminent philosopher of the New Left, Herbert Marcuse.